Hello, guys, and welcome back to Fitcast, the podcast talking all about bodybuilding things. And I am your host, as always, Molly Edwards. It's been a minute since I've recorded a podcast, and I'm pretty sure on the last one as well, I was like, I've got the next podcast planned out, da da da. And yeah, it just kind of didn't happen like that. And I hand on heart, did have the next guest planned, but we had to move some things about. And yeah, it's kind of all been very up in the air the last few weeks. As anyone out there that's listening that is maybe a coach or has been in the bodybuilding industry a while knows, the back end of the year is manic busy with clients I've had on stage, myself being on stage, etc. The next podcast I was going to come on and do, and I kind of planned out, was coming on covering my season as a coach and obviously as a competitor as well. But that is not what this podcast is about. This podcast is going to be all about post-show. So last night I hosted the post-show webinar. Those of you that have followed me for a while know this is something I've hosted before. I think this is the third one I've done now. And there were, as always, people that couldn't attend or missed it for whatever reason. And I just thought, before I've kind of recorded the webinar itself and then posted that, and you can find that if you look on Fitcast and go through the episodes, it's just called the post-show webinar. But I thought I would just kind of record a podcast going through some bits, just so it's, you know, the webinar, we've got like everyone jumps in, talks about, you know, their experiences and whatever. But I just kind of wanted to go through it on a podcast and give you guys a little bit of details. So there are a few other podcasts that I have recorded in the past that's gone through post-show, and I wanted to share them with you. So the one I just mentioned, the post-show webinar, that was literally the webinar, recorded the whole Zoom call and posted it, essentially. So you've got that one there. Now, these aren't really in order, because when I was looking, it kind of was showing me a really weird order. But the next one I've got, where we talked a lot about post-show, was with Will Bassnett. And that one's called Will Bassnett, Ibiza's Biggest Nerd on Post-Show Cravings. Will actually unfortunately passed away this year. And one of the things that I always feel he left me with was that podcast. And post-show was always something I struggled with. And I remember having that conversation with him, and a lot of kind of things became a lot clearer for me from that. And I'm really grateful that we did record that and we can share that now with all of you, and you can go and listen to it. I've not listened back to it this year as much as I've kind of wanted to. But I think if you are someone that struggles, that did really help me, because it was about the kind of neurochemistry of the brain and how it's kind of all these feelings and emotions that we feel around food post-show are literally just your hormones, and kind of taking it back to kind of that almost animalistic behavior, I want to say, or caveman brain, whatever you want to call it, that it's not just you not being good enough and not being disciplined enough and whatever. It's actually just how your body's responding. So it's a really, really interesting one, and definitely really helped me. The other one I recorded that I think would be really helpful was with Clara Swedland. And that was entitled Why You Don't Want It Enough Is Bullshit. We covered quite a lot in there. Clara is a sport and exercise psychologist. And we covered loads of bits in there about kind of bodybuilding in general. But we definitely did cover the post-show part there as well. And looking at it from kind of an emotional standpoint, and kind of hopefully that kind of helps you as well. And little things that you can do that might help you if you are struggling post-show as well. So two very kind of different podcasts in the way that the one with Will was talking about the kind of neurochemistry behind it. And Clara's was talking more about like your kind of thought patterns. So almost like the conscious and the subconscious in a way. I don't know. Maybe that's not quite the way to describe it. But either way, both very good. And then I did one last year with Holly, is it? called First Time Experiences and Hormonal Health. And the second part of that podcast, we covered a lot about hormonal health, bringing back your cycle, and all of that stuff. So if that's something that you are interested in as a woman, I would definitely go back and give that a listen. So hopefully this arms you with quite a few different podcasts that you can listen to, and hopefully between them there will be loads of information from actually a few different people that will hopefully give you kind of what you need post show to equip yourself a bit better. The other thing that you can find is Compac do a post show ebook, so you can head over to Compac and get that, and there's loads of bits of information on there as well about post show. So let's get started. So what we are going to cover today is essentially the notes I'm going to use to go through this podcast are the notes that I was using last night when I delivered the webinar itself. So we are going to cover a few different things. I'm going to give you a little bit of instruction, which I feel like I've done anyway. We're going to talk about post-show goal setting. We're going to talk about bringing back cycles. We're going to talk about kind of what defines you as a person. Binge eating, reverse dieting, food focus, training and physical health, and mental health as well. Basically, the idea of this podcast is to kind of give you what I gave people last night in the webinar. And it's just a bit of information about post-show. For me, I've really, really struggled in the past post-show. This post-show has been a lot different, a lot better, I will say that much. But I think the reason it's been a lot better is because I feel like I've been armed a lot more with information and knowledge and experience. And I think every post-show is going to be different anyway. And it's always going to be kind of, I think sometimes like what happened in your show season can kind of reflect on how your post-show was. Last time I'd kind of competed, done well, and then I didn't really know what was next. I was like, well, what do I do now, you know? Whereas this time I've competed, I've not done so well, but I very much know what's next. So I've still kind of got that direction, which I think maybe that could be part of it as well. So I guess when you are in that competing season, and as much as people are like, oh, you know, just live in the moment and, you know, focus on show to show. And yes, sometimes that's what you need to get through prep. But sometimes also you need to know what your goal is then after prep, just so you're already armed with the next thing. Is the next thing you're going to compete next year? Is it you're going to compete in 2026? Is it that actually going to take a few years out? Is it you're not even going to ever compete again? I don't know. So have that kind of in the back of your mind, have a rough idea. Now, it doesn't mean you have to stick with it, but sometimes just having that idea can kind of help you when you are moving forwards as well. But so there we go. So the first thing I want to talk about is post-show goals. So that's what I mean. I do think it's important to set yourself goals post-show. Now, they can be anything you like. Now, I think the first goal should always actually be getting your hormones regulated again, get your cycle back if you've lost it. If you've not lost it, I still think 9 times out of 10, your hormones are going to have been affected by a post-show. So if you've still got your period, fantastic. If you don't, it could be that you do have your hormones in a good place, but they're probably not in the perfect place, if that makes sense. So definitely working on getting your hormones back. But then also looking at training goals. So, okay, now my goal is to grow X, Y, and Z muscle. You know, I need to bring my delts up. I need to bring my glutes up. So what can I do for that? Maybe it's having an off-season photo shoot. I actually love an off-season photo shoot now. I love a post-show photo shoot. I feel like for some people, it just helps people keep on track. But for others, it just helps you feel good in the body that you're in when you're doing that shoot. So post-show, we can often feel very frumpy, very watery, very fluffy, and just not comfortable in our body. But when you go and do a photo shoot, you know that they're always going to get photos that you go, oh my God, I look amazing, right? You get your hair done, you get your makeup done, you find some nice outfits, you stand in a nice scenic area. You know, I did one on the beach once, which was amazing. I've done them with motorbikes and stuff. You know, you find something cool to shoot with, and you just go and do it, and you will come out of that feeling really empowered as well. Or it might be that once you've done post-show, actually, you just want to aim for a holiday, you know, and have that goal of, I'm going away, so I don't want to, you know, look like a beach whale, but I also want to be able to enjoy my holiday, and having that as kind of a goal post-show. And like I said, they can come in different shapes and sizes. They might even be something like completely away from that, like a career goal. So you might say, you know, I want to start this business, or I want to get a, a promotion at work. I want to get a promotion at work. I want to do that. You know, for me, I've got like goals now with my business, and kind of I did some prep as well. And you'll see that there is something very exciting I've been working on behind the scenes. I was hoping to launch it last month, but that just didn't happen, unfortunately. But I'm launching something very soon, and that's my big goal, kind of this post show. It might be that you want to go, you know, to festivals and things, and you know, what is it that you want to achieve that this off season? Is it you want to spend more time with your friends and your family? Do you want to do something like run a Tough Mudder or the Spartan Race or something like that, you know, where it's not taking away from your body goals, as your bodybuilding goals as such, but it's something different that you might want to achieve, and do that with a friend, raise some money for charity, all those fun things. So setting yourself goals, and if you're listening to this, just open your notes app on your phone and just write yourself down like two or three goals that you want to achieve. Maybe like this off season, in the next couple of weeks, and in the next few months. So just give yourself like a few goals that you want to work on. So like I said, the first one is always going to be bringing back your cycle. So in my opinion, this should always be the first thing that we are aiming towards when we step off stage. And the reason this is so important, and I feel like there are coaches out there that will sit there and they'll be like, well, you know, unless you want kids, it doesn't really matter. You know, it doesn't really matter right now unless you want kids. And like that, it could not be further from the truth. You know, we have a cycle for a reason, right? Yes, to be able to have children. And, you know, for some people, that is something that's very, very important to them. You know, for some people like myself, I don't want kids. So it's like that in some aspects, does that need to be such a big goal of mine? In my opinion, yes, because it's like having a cycle doesn't just, you know, give you the ability to have kids. It also gives you stronger bones. So you're without your cycle, you know, for long extended periods of time, you're at more risk of osteoporosis, you're more at risk of heart disease, you're more at risk of digestive issues, you're more at risk of dental issues as well. There's a whole host of other things as well where people have come to me and they said, oh, I've got this issue and that issue, you know, skin, hair, nails, all of that as well. And I'm like, yeah, you can link that back to your hormones being out of place. So it is super, super important that when we step off stage, we get our cycle back. Not just if you want to have kids, but if you want to live a long and healthy life, essentially. So the way that we're going to do this is a few different things. So firstly, obviously, it's up in calories. So in my opinion, I don't like reverse dieting. I think you want to go straight up to maintenance or above, really straight into a surplus. So you're going to up those calories, and you're going to up your healthy fats and carbs as well. So the reason why you want fats and carbs, and you'll see a lot of people and they're just like, oh, post-show, just add a few more fats into the diet that's already there, and you know, you'll stay nice and lean and you'll bring your cycle back. And that's not really the case, because it's more than just fats that bring the cycle back. So what you actually want, and I think this is where the healthy fats things come from, but it's been lost in translation, is yes, we want healthy fats in the diet, but we also want carbs as well. Now, the reason is you want to think of your body as like this little scared, anxious little person, right? And it's saying all the time, I'm really worried because, you know, we're not eating much food, we're doing all this exercise, and I need to start shutting things down because otherwise we're going to die, right? And this is how your body thinks, because he's very anxious. And so he stops your period because he said, well, we don't need this right now. You know, we're not in a position to have kids. So let's shut this off and, you know, we can, you know, save that way. So he does that. Now, what we need to do is think about making this little man that's in control of your period. I don't know why he's a man. He's probably more likely a woman, isn't he? This little woman that's in charge of your period. We need to make her happy again, okay? So the way we do that is reach something called blood glucose homeostasis. So it's a point where, you know, your blood glucose isn't sharply spiking and then dropping back down again. Because when it drops back down again, she's getting very anxious again. So we essentially want it to be, a homeostasis means is at a level, right? So that's why we're pairing the carbs throughout the day. So we want to be having like 5-6 meals a day. And we want to be putting carbs in every meal. And we want to be pairing those carbs with the fats. Now what that does is the fats and the protein as well, actually, slows down the release of the carbohydrates. So we're not getting this nice trickling of carbohydrates then through the day. And our little lady that's sat there, she's going, oh, okay, this is all right. We're getting a little bit more food now because we've upped our calories. And not just by like 100. We've upped our calories and she's going, oh, we're getting a bit more food. Maybe this isn't so bad. And we're getting more fats and we're getting more carbs and that blood glucose is staying nice and steady. She's going, oh, this is all right. I think I'm okay here. And the other thing we're going to do is lower expenditure. So obviously with high expenditure, that's going to create stress on the body. It's going to heighten cortisol levels. And also the same with, you know, our low calories as well. So we start to lower that expenditure. We go down from doing 15,000 steps a day, we might go down to like 10. We go from doing an hour's cardio, 2 hours cardio, down to like 30 minutes, 20 minutes, and not every single day. And again, she's going, oh, okay, like, you know, we're not doing that anymore. We're not chasing lines or anything anymore. This is okay. And then we make sure that we've got supplements in there as well that help. So Chesterberry, Vitex, you've got vitamin B complex, you've got magnesium. These are all things that you're probably going to be lacking because you don't have your cycle. So we give it all them as well. And she's like, okay, like, I think I'm all right now. And we need to do this for a little period of time. It's not going to come back overnight. You know, you don't just stop this and within 2 days, she goes, well, all right, yeah, we'll bring it back. Because she is anxious. So we need a lot of reassurance. We need to lower stress in other ways as well. So if you're in a very stressful job, taking time to kind of de-stress from that, because you can actually lose your cycle as well just through stress. So you can be eating completely normally, training, like not even training at all, right? And you can lose your cycle from stress. So we need to bring down those stress factors. A lot of us as well are perhaps having an excessive amount of caffeine in prep, and just lowering that. You know, if you're having like 5 monsters a day, and I know there's people that do it, right? Just going down to like 1 monster a day or 1 coffee a day or something. And again, it's just helping that little lady in our body and just going, actually, like, we can lower the stress levels down here as well. And then she's a bit happier and then she goes, yeah, all right, we'll have a period. Now, obviously, it's very obvious when we've got a period, right? What's not necessarily so obvious is when you've ovulated. So what I find is I have some people come to me and they're going, oh, no, I had a period the whole way through prep and, you know, I've still got this period now. It's a bit funny, but, you know, I've still got it. And I ask them a little bit more about it. And this period that they're having, that they've been told by these wonderful coaches, is, no, that's a normal period. You know, it's fine. It's just a bit longer, a bit shorter than others. And I say to them, oh, how many days in between? And they said, oh, I normally have 2 periods a month. And it's not really like a heavy period, it's just spotting. That isn't a period. So what that is a withdrawal bleed that's from the pill. It's just a bleed from essentially having a low progesterone, so it's low progesterone bleed. And that is basically from having such low progesterone that the uterine wall lining can't kind of stick, so it breaks away. So as much as you think that that is a period, it's not, because you've not ovulated, you're not having that kind of circle of menstruation, if we can call it that, you know, the ovulation and then the menstruation and then the releasing of the egg again for the ovulation, and that kind of little circle of life there, you're just bleeding because you've got no progesterone. So actually that signals to me that we are at a really low point here. So what we want to do is, yes, we're having this bleed, but a proper bleed, not just a little bit of spotting, a proper period. And we're making sure that we're ovulating. So the ways that we can kind of track this is tracking heart rate. So your heart rate might be a little bit low. So we want to just see that creep up a little bit. Doing your body temperature every morning. And if your body temperature goes up by 1 degree, that normally would signal ovulation. Now, you want to couple that with a few other things as well, because it's very easy to just go, oh, it's gone up 1 degree, but actually sometimes our bodies could be fighting an infection or something. So you also want to couple that with looking at discharge as well, and seeing if that is around the same time as you're going up by a degree. And also what you can do then, just to double, triple confirm that, is you can buy ovulation sticks. Now, if you buy them from Boots, they're going to cost you a fortune. If you go down to Savers, you'll be able to buy a pack for like a couple quid. And you just wear on it a bit like a pregnancy test, and it'll come up with lines that tell you whether you've ovulated or not. Now that then gives you that really like obvious sign then, yep, I have ovulated. And then we can write that down as almost day 14. And then we can just track then and see if you then come on your cycle on around day 28. Now it's not always day 28. Some people a couple days before, some people a couple days after. But around that kind of time, then we're like, okay, cool. Like, body's seeming happy. Now, it might just be that, you know, our little lady that's doing everything, she thinks that, you know, she was happy that month, but she's still a little bit on edge. So you don't then want to go back to training, like, because you want to pull down your training a little bit as well, maybe not going to failure, maybe only training, like, potentially 3 days a week or 4 days a week. So this little lady, she's going, okay, I feel happy this time. But you still got to keep her happy to ovulate again, you know, because one period isn't recovered, right? It's three periods, it's recovered. So we need to keep her happy. So don't just go, cool, I'm back. Like, you know, I can diet again. I can go back hell to leather. No. We need to keep this the little lady happy. So we want to then, you know, continue the things that we're doing, continue a treatment with our care, and then track your days. Are we around day 14 again? It might be day 13, it might be day 15. Checking your body temperature and everything, doing your ovulation sticks. Oh, cool, we've ovulated again. We've got that period again. And you want to have three periods before you're considered recovered. And I would say after those three periods, that's when I would probably have my bloods tested, just to double, triple check that everything is where it needs to be. Some people come off stage and they get their bloods ran, and I think there are certain circumstances where that's helpful, but I don't think it's when it's around hormonal health. You know, I had mine done, and people that follow me on Instagram stuff would have seen I'd had my bloods done, literally a week post-show. It wasn't for hormones. It was pointless me paying for that, to be honest, because I know where they would have been. They would have been in the bin, right? So mine was for my thyroid, and I wanted to check where that was. So having your hormones checked post-show, it's only going to tell you what you already know. And if you're not having a period, I can tell you where your hormones are. They're on the floor. So actually, we want to be checking them when we've had those recovery bleeds. And then we can look at it and go, okay, like, yeah, we are 100% better. Or actually, things look on the surface okay. But actually, when we look at our blood work, maybe we're not okay. And I'd kind of be looking at it that way instead. Because if, like I said, if you've got no period, you've got no hormones. So I would look at it like that, save a bit of money. If anyone's got any questions or anything they're unsure about, obviously with things like menopause, with contraception, that is going to hide some of the issues that you might be having post-show. That is very much if someone's not running any form of contraception, because obviously contraception is putting synthetic hormones into the body. So if you've got any questions about it, please drop me a message on Instagram, and I'm more than happy to talk to anyone about it. If you are struggling with your cycle, if it's been more than 8 to 10 weeks and your cycle still hasn't returned, this is not normal. It should be able to come back between 8 and 10 weeks, normally beforehand. If it's taking longer than that, please, 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 please go on Instagram, or grab my email. I'm going to put it at the bottom of this episode notes, but it's mollyjane_bikini on Instagram, mollyjanecoaching@gmail.com. Drop me an email if you don't have Instagram and chat to me about it, and I will have a look at your nutrition, at, you know, your training, everything, and I will help you bring it back. You know, I've brought back cycles for girls that have lost it for a year and a half before. But yeah, it's not normal. Please don't let anyone tell you that that's normal. It's not. And we can bring it back. So yeah, just wanted to add that in there, because I know there's a lot of women that really struggle with it, and they get told all this crap, like, oh, you know, but it's fine and stuff. It's not. It's really not. So that is that one there. We're going to move on to the next thing now, with what kind of defines you as a person. And I feel like a lot of people post-show can feel very kind of lost post-show, and feel like, you know, you spent 20 odd weeks, maybe longer, dieting, maybe 30 weeks realistically when you do a couple shows and whatever, dieting and prepping and being, you know, Molly the bodybuilder, right? And that's great. We can be Molly the bodybuilder for a bit. But also, I am not just Molly the bodybuilder. And I don't think any of you listening are just, whatever your name is, the bodybuilder. And that's not what defines you. So don't let it be the thing that defines you. Because when you come off prep, then you can be a little bit lost and be like, well, I spent the last 30 weeks being Molly the bodybuilder. Who am I now? Well, I still am Molly the bodybuilder. But I'm also Molly the friend. And I am also Molly the girlfriend. And I'm also Molly the mum to my dog. And I am also Molly the sister and the daughter. And I think it's looking at that and going, what else defines you? Not just bodybuilding. What are your values? You know, what is something that you really value? You know, for me, yeah, I love bodybuilding, right? But there's also other things that I think are my values, you know, kindness and honesty, being a really good coach to my clients and being able to help them the best that they can. Those are things that I value really highly in my life. So asking yourself that, asking yourself what you love about yourself as well. So, and we did this kind of exercise on the webinar last night, and I asked some of the girls that I knew each other as well, what do you love about yourself and what do others love about you? And knowing that I'd got their friends on there, and then they could say what they loved about their friends as well. Because I think sometimes it's very easy to just be like, oh, I like that, you know, I can make people laugh or whatever. But actually then when you talk to your friends, they say things like, oh, they're really supportive, you know, and they really help me with this and that. And sometimes when you're in like a really dark place, it's hard to say what you love about yourself. But if you ask others what they love about you, they can probably give you a really good answer. So again, if you've got your notes up on your phone, write down what your values are, write down what you love about yourself, and write down what you think others love about you. And if you don't know, just reach out to one of your friends and just ask them. Just say, look, you know, I'm doing this exercise at the moment and I'm feeling a bit down. What is it that you like about me? And I'm sure they'll be able to tell you something. And use that to define you rather than just, I am a bodybuilder. So the next topic we are going to talk about is binge eating. So I feel like this is such a strange topic in a way, because you see people and they eat like a pizza off plan, or they eat like a bloody Freddo or something. And then it's like, oh my God, like I binged on this pizza, or I binged on a Freddo, or, you know, coaches out there saying, and again, like, I feel like such a bitch saying this, but the problem is, I think a lot of people's negative connotations from bodybuilding comes from shit coaching, and it comes from coaches not prioritizing female hormonal health and just saying, oh, not having a period's fine, you know, you don't want kids next week, so what's the issue? And I think that the other issue comes from coaches giving clients a lot of guilt around just eating something off plan and feeling like they are, or calling it binge eating. And I think that's a massive, massive issue, because binge eating, if you're actually binge eating, and that, you know, it's not something that we should be taking lightly. And kind of calling any, having a Domino's with your boyfriend isn't binge eating. It's not, it's having a meal off plan, which you should be having post show. So binge eating is uncontrollable. So binge eating is, you are almost like an out of body experience, and anyone that has experienced this knows what I'm talking about here. It's like an out of body experience, and you cannot control yourself, and you will kind of almost come round like from it with your hand in the toe and Nutella, right? Wondering what the fuck you're doing with your life. So that's what I mean by binge eating. It is uncontrollable. You are going to eat everything in your house. It doesn't matter if it's chocolate, sweets, a loaf of bread, like, you are going to eat it all. And it is, like I said, uncontrollable. It's almost like an out of body experience, and it's really, really hard. Now, what causes it is kind of going to be very person dependent. So for some people, and for most people post-show, it is going to be, because like we were saying earlier, your hunger hormones, they are basically saying, look, we've not eaten, we are starving, you know, our body, she's a worried little woman. And she's like, we need to eat, man. So they kind of cause this kind of uncontrollable binging, because they are just like, we need fucking calories, right? So that's one reason it happens. The other reason it happens can be actually because emotional reasons. So you're struggling emotionally post-prep, you're feeling a little bit depressed, you're maybe putting a lot of pressure on yourself, and to try and be perfect, you can't, and then you end up binging. So the most important thing is to work out what's causing it for you, and then that's how you can learn how to stop it. So how can you stop it is going to be, there's loads of different little tactics in place that you can do. And like I said, the first thing you need to do is actually work out what it is for you. Now, it might be that you're restricting way too much through the day, and then you get to a certain time of the day, or, you know, the next day, and you end up binging on loads of stuff because you just restricted yourself way too much. So make sure you're getting enough food in through your days. That's the first thing. The next thing is just take yourself for a walk. Once you've done it and you can recognize that feeling coming on, and that's what's really important, is being very, very self-aware, and you recognize that feeling coming on, go out, go for a walk, leave your bank card, leave your phone at home, just go for a walk, clear your head, get some fresh air. And that's, you know, that can really help. Doing something with your hands. Now, this sounds mad, but if you're doing something with your hands, you're less likely to think. So if you're, get some colouring, do like a colouring book, right? Do some art. And I encourage loads of my clients to do artwork anyway. I've actually been making a scrapbook of like prep and competing and stuff, and putting in a scrapbook. So you could do that, you know, and that gives you a little thing about your prep as well, and it's nice memories and what have you. So there's all those kind of things that you can do, but you're not alone in it at all. And I want everyone to remember that you're not the only person that's been there. I've been there. A lot of us have been there. Just most people don't want to talk about it, right? Because it's not glamorous and beautiful and whatever. You know, it's the horrible, harsh reality of bodybuilding sometimes, and people don't want to talk about that. But you're not alone, and please don't feel guilty from it. Like I said before, it's not like you just decided to do that. It's like your body has decided that for you. So don't feel guilty from it. That's the worst thing you can do, because I think from there, that's when you're going to run into problems. That's when you're going to make it worse. So don't feel guilt from it. Talk to your coach about it. Make sure your coach is understanding, and work out a way to move forward. Now, if it keeps happening, it might be that you actually need to look at some other ways of dealing with it. It might be, if it's an emotional binge, it might be that there's something underlying there that you might need to talk about. And there are some really good people out there. Clara, who I mentioned earlier that I did the podcast with, she does a lot of really fantastic work with people that are struggling with kind of binge eating and stuff. So I definitely reach out to someone like her, get some help with it. But yeah, you're not alone, and that's the main thing I wanted to talk about there. The next thing I want to talk about, kind of linked, is food focus. So food focus, I mean, we've probably all felt on prep is, you know, wandering around the supermarkets and you can just look at all the food and you are waiting for your next meal and, you know, you just want to eat, right? And you're just focused on or a certain food, like you're just like obsessed with, I don't know what you're obsessed with, some, I don't know, dairy milk, chocolate, right? You're just obsessed with a certain food. And it is hard to overcome, but you can overcome it and you can still have food focus in your off season. Now, the biggest tip I can actually give you with food focus starts in your off season. So when you, and but I mean, you can do it now, when you're on your Instagram, do not interact with any food pages. Now, I spent so long doing this because I was like, I don't want it on my Instagram. Instagram, as we know, TikTok, whatever, it creates algorithms and it will then show you more of that. So if you don't react to it, it won't show you that because it'll be like, oh, she's not interested in KFC. She's not interested in whatever. So don't interact with it. That's the first thing. If you've got food pages on there, you know, post-show cookies and donuts and whatever, just don't follow the accounts. Or if it's, you know, I've got friends that have those accounts and it's like, I don't want to not follow them, but also I don't kind of want to see it on my page, so I just mute them. And you can just mute their posts and their stories whilst you're in prep if need be, and when you're post-show, and I think that really helps as well. So make sure you're muting these pages, you're not following it, you're not interacting with it. If someone tags you in some giveaway of a box of donuts, just don't even respond. Maybe just say to your friends that, look, I really don't want you tagging me in this because I don't want that on my algorithm. I think you still can have food focus in off season. I have seen it. I think a lot of that time, the time then, it's when people are still having quite restrictive off seasons. So yeah, that's kind of my thoughts there. But your off season shouldn't be restrictive. Your hormones should be in a good place. That's the other time when I see it in an off season. And I do think in an off season, you can build up so that food focus isn't as bad in prep by pushing those clean foods. The more clean foods you have, the fuller you're going to be. And the less likely you are going to be to experience, you know, a lot of hunger. But B, experience kind of that real food focus because you're just so full all the time, you know. If you're someone post-show that just wants kind of, or their macro tracking to have kind of dirty foods in their plan, or not dirty, you know, but less calorie dense food in their plan, you are probably going to struggle a lot more with food focus. If you stick to your rice, your potatoes as your carb sources, you know, those kind of foods are really, really clean foods, you're less likely to have that food focus because you're going to be so much more full. So that is one thing there. The next thing I want to talk about is reverse dieting. So reverse dieting, I don't actually feel is as big these days as it used to be, because I think people have realised it's fucking stupid. But there are probably people that are going to see this on their Instagram and it probably will get in your head. Like I said, I don't think I see it as much now, but also I don't actually spend that much time on Instagram now. I post my stuff, I do my stories, I do kind of all the social media stuff I need to do, and then I'm kind of off it. I'm not sitting, I don't really, unless you're my client, if I'm honest, I don't really care what random people or so-and-so who's trying to get their pro card is doing. Like, I just don't care. I'm just focused on what I'm doing. But I used to see this a lot, and it's got in my head, it's got in clients' heads, and I want to talk about it. So reverse dieting, we're going to use really, really easy calories here. You're a woman and you finished prep on 1,000 calories, and your maintenance calories are 1,500, right? So, these are facts, right? We're just going to agree that these are facts, okay? So you finished prepping on 1,000, your maintenance we know is 1,500, which is really low, to be honest. Let's call it 2,000, actually. Let's do that. We know our maintenance is 2,000, but we finished prepping on 1,000. So what reverse dieting would then be is reversing from that diet. So instead of going up to that 2,000 maintenance, week one post-show, we would go to 1,100 calories. Week three post-show, we'd go to 1,200 calories. Week four post-show, 1,300 calories, etc., etc. So you're just going up by 100 calories a day, a week. That's not a lot, is it? And if we know our maintenance is 2,000 calories and we are going into our reverse, we shall call it, at 1,100 calories, you are still in a deficit. So you are going to be getting leaner post-show. Now, can you see now already why this is a little bit stupid? Because we've already spoken about earlier this podcast, getting calories up, getting your hormones back in a good place. Also, if your hormones are in a shit place, you're not going to be growing any muscle because you've got no estrogen and you've got no testosterone to help you build that muscle. So if you are staying in this really low calorie thing, you are not going to be building any muscle. You're going to be staying really, really lean, which isn't really necessary for anything. And your body is still going to feel like absolute shit because you don't have enough fat on you. So that's why I'm not a big fan of it. I really don't think it's very helpful for anyone. Now, there are people that do reverse diet, and that's the only way that they can kind of cope post-show. So there are certain people that really, really, really struggle with weight gain. And if I'm brutally, brutally honest, I think if you struggle to that point that you have to do this, I think maybe this isn't the sport for you. So mentally, if you cannot cope with putting on a little bit of weight, maybe you need to think of maybe it's not quite for you, or doing a lot of work on yourself alternatively. So people that are putting on, like, adding 100 calories, they're staying very, 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 very lean. It's normally because they're dealing with stuff. So when you then see it on Instagram and you see these people going, you know, I'm 8 weeks post-show and I've only put on 0.2 kilograms, and they're bragging about it like it's this really great achievement, what I want you to realise is that it's not. It's not a good achievement at all. And it probably means that there's actually something going on in the background. Now, what I don't want people to do is then jump on their Instagram and be like, oh, you're a fucking dick, right? Because it's not, they're probably going through shit, right? But what I want you to do is realise that that isn't because this person is handling post-show really well. It actually means they're handling post-show really badly, but they're spinning it in a different light. So they are spinning it as, you know, that means they're handling post-show really well. It's not. They just don't, they are not capable of putting on the body fat needed to become healthy. And like we said, they've probably still got really bad hormones. They're probably not really growing in the gym, and they're probably experiencing a lot of other kind of issues. You know, that could be issues with binging. That could actually be issues with restricting food. It could be binge purging. It could be anything. So just be kind, but also be mindful that that kind of isn't helpful for you as someone that is struggling and putting on weight post-show. So yeah, just think of it like that. And I just kind of wanted to touch on it because, like I said, I don't actually see it as much as I used to on social media, but I definitely did. There were definitely certain influencers that had all these followers, and they would put on hardly any weight, and everyone would think they're amazing, and everyone would think that they're failing post-show because they'd put on, you know, 5 kilograms in 5 weeks. Actually, that is the norm. You know, half a kilogram in 5 weeks is not the norm. So just think about it, zoom out, look at the bigger picture. If you want to grow, if you want to get your health in a good place, if you're in bodybuilding for the long run, which I think a lot of us are, zoom out, look at the bigger picture. That's one of the girls said on the call last night, was looking at the bigger picture. And, you know, yes, we all want to stay really lean and like, that's cool. But look at the bigger picture. And if you're in bodybuilding for the long run, if you want to compete again in a year or 2 years' time, you need to be looking at that bigger picture and looking and going, okay, I could stay really lean now, but what is that actually going to be helping me with? probably nothing, right? So that's kind of that. Like I said, I don't think it's as big as it used to be, but it definitely did used to be. Training and physical health. So thinking about taking deloads post-show. Now, in an ideal world, we'd all take a deload post-show, right? But for some people mentally, that is not an option. You know, they need to be in their gym, they need to be in their routine. For other people, they need that deload post-show. They need a week away. Their body feels battered. They need that time off. So do what's right for you in that circumstance mentally. But even if you're not having a deload, even if you're just going to the gym, don't be training 100%. You give your body time to recover because your joints are probably going to be aching. There's going to be a lot of things like water retention and stuff that are going to affect your joints further. So yeah, you are going to have achy joints. You are going to be feeling a little bit battered. You've not got that nutrition in you. You know, you're going to be missing micronutrients and things as well from dieting. Your recovery is probably going to be a little bit crap. So just allow your body to recover. Don't push it till failure. Leave a few in the tank. And if you just need to stick to that kind of routine, do that. Doing cardio post-show as well, I think personally, keep a little bit of cardio in. We don't still want to be doing like an hour on the Stairmaster. Bring it down maybe like half an hour on the cross trainer or something, you know, so we're not battering our body, but we're still keeping your heart nice and healthy. Because also, if you're adding in loads of carbs, if you are kind of putting that weight on quite quickly, we want to keep our heart healthy as well. Like I said, with the water retention as well, it can all kind of have an effect. But also, you know, it allows us to push the food a little bit higher when actually we're probably having more food focused than anything else. And keep on top of hydration and digestion. Now, I think a lot of people get to post-show and they just suddenly forget that water exists. But keep drinking that water, keep the water going in. That's going to help with any water retention you're getting. Keep the sodium going in as well. A lot of people forget to salt their meals post-show as well. Keep that salt going in. Keep that water going in. It's like water's very, very good for you. And digestion as well. I think people get to post-show and they just kind of don't even think about it. Whereas we still want to be making sure that what the foods we're eating, we are digesting well. If you need to take some sort of digestive enzymes, making sure we're keeping them in as well. Because, you know, your body, like we said at the beginning, with your hormones being out of place, your digestion can take an effect. So making sure that we are just keeping track on what foods are agreeing with us. Maybe some foods aren't agreeing with us, and that's okay. Just pull them out for a little bit before putting them back in again. Also, look in your training, like, have you got training goals? Now we're in off season, like, we want to be, you know, looking at what your feedback is. And now some feedback we want to take with a pinch of salt. If your feedback's come to you really, really quickly and it's just a couple lines, you know, a few bullet points, it's probably not going to be that accurate. So you'll know when you get feedback, right? Because I used to do a lot of it. Some of them it's bullet points and it's not that accurate. And some of it is really in-depth feedback from a judge. So also, your feedback might not be relevant. So if you did bikini this year, but you know that you're going to move up into figure, if you got feedback, it's probably going to be relevant to that bikini class. Now, if you're going into figure, they might say, oh, I'm bikini. Oh, you don't need it like any more back. Like, your back's perfect. You don't need to bring that up. When you go into figure, you might be like, actually, I need a bigger back, you know? They might not say in bikini, you don't really need chest or biceps in bikini, do you? In figure, you do. So it might be that you're kind of looking at that as well. So speak to your coach. Make sure that your coach is giving you really good feedback on your shows as well and what they think that you should be working on. So yeah, look at that. Look at getting stronger in those areas. You know, if you say you want to build up your chest, you know, let's say I'm going into figure now, so I need a bit more chest, need a bit more biceps. Set a goal for your chest and biceps. Set a bench goal. You know, I want to hit X amount on the bench. You know, X amount on the hack squat, for example, if you need to bring your legs up, whatever it might be. Do you want to improve your mobility? That could be something. And you've got a little bit more time now, so you're not doing quite so much cardio. So set a mobility routine in place. You know, if you need to improve your posing, 9 times out of 10, when I do posing, you know, sessions with people, actually they need to build up their mobility. They need to get better at, you know, their mobility in their lower back, their twist mobility, whatever that might be. So, yeah, improve your mobility. That's another thing that you can do as well. So there's a few kind of training goals there to think about. Mental health. So we kind of talked about physical health, now we are going to talk about mental health. You're probably going to be feeling very up and down at the moment, and that is so normal. So you have gone through a prep, you've achieved this goal, whether that was stepping on stage, winning a show, getting a top three, an overall, whatever it might be, right? You stepped on stage, it's this massive high, this massive buzz, and what goes up is going to come back down again. So you're probably feeling those downs as well, those lows, and then probably feeling some highs as well and some good days and whatever, and then you probably feel shit again, right? Like I said, completely normal. Everyone's feeling like it. You're going to have hormones playing absolute havoc with you at the moment. You are, like I said, you're going from a massive up as well. So what I would say is still check in with your coach. Now, whether that is once a week, whether that is every day. Now, for me, I encourage my clients to check in daily post-show. And then we kind of strip it back a little bit to maybe 3 times a week, and then down to once a week when they're kind of feeling ready to. But still check in with your coach, still talk to your coach, and get that kind of advice there with how you're feeling. Make sure you have the right people around you. Talk to your friends. Make sure you spend, like, take time with them and go and do things. But yeah, have those people around you that are going to make you feel good, that aren't going to just be like, oh, like, now you can eat, just like eat all this chocolate, you know, let's go out for dinner and all you can eat buffet. Like, have friends that, if you just feel like you only feel comfortable just going out for a coffee at the moment, that's fine. They just support you with that. And if you are really, really struggling, if it's getting too much, reach out for help. Now, like I said before, Clara's fantastic. I send people to her. And your coach might be able to help you a bit further as well. But if you are really, really struggling, make sure you do reach out, get help from someone that is a professional in this. You know, at the end of the day, we're coaches. We coach bodybuilding. We coach, you know, how to lift weights. We coach how to eat chicken and rice, right? We're not experts in mental health. Now, a lot of us do what we can and we learn what we can. And, you know, I myself have gone on, you know, a few mental health courses and stuff, but I'm not a psychologist. You know, that takes 12 years or something, Clara was saying to me, in university and doing all sorts of bits and pieces. So we're not that. We're not mental health professionals. And sometimes you need that. So go reach out and get that help that you do need. And one thing I think is really helpful is just keeping busy. So sign up for a course or a club. So it might be like we said before, maybe you might have like a new business idea or something you want to do. Sign up for that course, whether that's, you know, makeup or hair or lashes or whatever. You might want to join a photography club or a dog walking club or something, running club, whatever it might be. Sign up, do that, keep yourself busy with that. Schedule date nights with, you know, your partner, schedule date nights with your friends, meet them for coffee, find fun things to do, right? So if you follow me on Instagram, we do go out for dinner, but not often. Like, we like to do days out. We like to go to art museums, where that's immersive art is more my favorite. So we go to immersive art experiences. Went to the Van Gogh experience. We went to candlelight concerts. So it's finding things, and all of that doesn't revolve around food. So that kind of guilt you might be feeling post-show every time you eat is going to be taken away, but it's going to be filled with that dopamine rush of doing something fun with your partner and also giving back to them. You know, they might be a partner that was prepping as well. They might be a partner that's also into bodybuilding, but they also might not be, right? So give back to them on date nights. Give back to your friends as well, for little date nights and stuff with friends. Meet them for coffee. Go for walks and stuff. And, you know, just spend time. Find fun days out. Think outside the box. There's loads of Christmas markets and Christmas lights and stuff at the moment. Go and experience that. And the last thing I'm going to leave you with today is this. You are not going to be perfect, and nor should you be. Post show is not perfect for anyone. Contrary to what you might see on Instagram, we all mess up, we all skip cardio, and we all eat chocolate. Set yourself free from that guilt and just know that trying is enough. If you have listened to this and you have any questions at all, please, please, please drop me a message either on Instagram or, like I said, I've dropped you my email as well earlier on. I'll put it in the description as well. If you have me on WhatsApp, drop me a message on WhatsApp. I'm not going to share my number on here though. But yeah, please just drop me a message. Whatever your question or thought, worry might be, I'm always here to listen. And if you want to come and work with me post show, you want that support from a coach, you want that kind of knowledge with hormones and stuff, again, drop me a message or fill out the link in my bio as well, and we'll get you supported, feeling good, and then into an off season where you're actually going to grow a shit ton of muscle and come back a lot stronger. So like I said, thank you so much everyone for listening. I will be back for another podcast shortly. I'm going to do a roundup one of the year, and I'm going to do another one as well actually with Ricky, and we're going to talk about kind of what it was like to prep together and things as well. But yeah, thank you for listening. Please like, comment, share, all of that fun stuff. Share your stories, tag me in it, and just, yeah, share this with anyone that you think might find it useful as well. Because if I can help someone not feel so alone post-show, then I have done my job well. So yeah, see you in the next one.